after the obedience to God out of the way, I feel good now. Whew, I can move on. I don't have to fight that anymore. That's crazy stuff, isn't it? That God wants us to be obedient. My goodness. Well, welcome to Prayer of Faith. Man, what a cool day this is. And by cool, I mean temperature-wise. It's just lightened up a little bit. You know, I had my jacket in the office I was going to wear, and the Lord said, don't wear your jacket. But okay, hard be it for me to fight you again twice in one day, not doing that, so I'm just going to preach without a jacket today. But, as you may have noticed on the slides up there, September 20th, night of prayer, 5 to 7 p.m., there's power when we come together to pray as a body. Our young people in here, well, you guys, it's a long drive, I know, but if you can come for a night of prayer, come, even if it's for a little bit. You guys don't have to stay the whole time. You can if you want to. You don't have to. You can pray any way you want to, silently, up here in the chair, out loud, however you want. It's a night of prayer, and that's between you and God for you to pray. There's needs of the nations and the world and this church and your family. Everything, this community, the Christian faith. There's so many things to pray for. So please make a note of that on the calendars. September 20th from 5 to 7 p.m. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. A lot of circumstances happen in our day-to-day activities. It's a choice when we say, I will rejoice. Lift up our pastor, Eric. He lost a long time, lifetime friend of his, last night, midnight-ish, crossed over into eternity. Eric has prayed for him for a long time, but lift him up. And I know for Eric, it's hard to rejoice in the midst of losing a lifetime friend that he's prayed for and ministered to over the years. But, as Eric and I talked about, he found God. Yesterday, the guy didn't find God. I mean, Eric found God moving in spite of the news yesterday and today and ministering to Eric. So continue to lift up Pastor Eric as he faces that and deals with that. I know that's just a heavy weight, Eric. And I pray for Eric. Normally, we pray for each other. As we preach, he prays for me. When I preach, I pray for him. I say, can I pray for you today? And sometimes us pastors, we need prayer. Amen? Watch it. Watch it on your responses there, okay? But we need prayer. We need uplifting. And we need refilling and refueling every now and then. So just remember that as well as we go into our night of prayer next month. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll get right into it today. Jeremiah chapter 29. And as you turn there, I'm going to read our springboard scripture into it. And it's from Psalm 69. Psalm 69, 29 through 33. And it says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves. Now listen carefully to this scripture. It says, the humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. You who seek God, your heart shall live. For the Lord hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Now David is going through this and he's praying and says, but I am poor and sorrowful. And it doesn't mean I don't have any money. He means I'm broken in spirit. I'm broken in spirit. It says, let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. And I will praise the name of God with a song. And then down there in verse 32, he says, the humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. Today's message is simple. Seek. Today's message is seek. And so we're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 29. And keep that in mind. You who seek God, your hearts shall live. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll start in verse 7. I'm starting a little earlier than I wanted to, but I thought it was important to give just a little extra information going in there. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 through 9 is what I'm reading right now. It says, "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed." Verse 9. "For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." Now, a couple things to take note of right there. Where we first started in verse 7, "And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive." God was the captor of those people. It's important to remember that. God said, "Hey, I took you away. I took you captive and put you up." A lot of times people miss that and think, well, who took him captive? God took him captive. He says, "I caused you to be removed." But he has a warning in there. "Do not let your prophets and your diviners and who are in your midst deceive you, for they will prophesy falsely in my name, and I have not sent them." It's important we take note of that. It's important we take note of that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Were people falsely doing things in the name of Jesus? Falsely doing these things. We can't do it. We have to be very careful when God tells us to do these things that we obey Him, that we are obedient to Him. God says, "I took you captive here." He warns them of the false prophets that are in their midst already. But He says, "I didn't send them." We have to be careful when people say, "The Lord has given me something. The Lord has given me a word for you." Did He really? Or do you have a word for me that you're just trying to emphasize by saying the Lord has given that to you? False prophets will face the king someday. And they'll say, "Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name?" And say, "Yeah, you did. But I didn't send you." That's what's happening right here in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, that we just read, the same thing is happening. People are prophesying in the name of Jesus. "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" That's what I can send you. Depart from me, because I didn't know you. You claim to be doing it in my name, but I didn't send you. We have to be careful when we play God out there, that we're listening to Him, that we're following Him, that we're not taking His place and doing our will. God's will, not our will. Even Jesus, when He prayed to Him, "Father, not my will, but your will." As He was in the garden. Now, there may be good things that they're doing, maybe good things that they're saying. That doesn't mean we get to do it in the name of Jesus. In the name of God, in the name of heaven, and say, "Hey, God, send me to do this." No. They don't have to be bad deeds. They may be good things that are happening. Let's move on. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. 10 through 14. That's what we'll focus the rest of today on. It says, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you." Not my good work, but my good word towards you, "and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Couple little verses, but man, there's a lot packed in there. You see, he's got the graduation verse in there. For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope. Why, that's the scripture we always try to tell our graduates. And the Lord has something for you. He's here to give you a future and hope. After 70 years are completed, I will visit you. It's a long wait without a visit from the Lord. But remember, we just read that he says, I caused you to be removed. I took you captive. Then he says, I will perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. He is also the same one that now sets them free. I took you captive. I held you. 7 years. And I said, I've determined for you, here I am, I will visit you and do my good work on you. And he told them, my thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. He says, I want good for you. You see, I want to give you a future and a hope. God wants to give us a future and a hope. Every day, we need a hope to get out of bed. And he says, I want to give you that. I'll give you a future, and I'm going to give you hope and a desire to do these things. And then he says, when this happens, then you will call upon me. Anyone ever call upon God? Say, God, I need you. But he says, you will call upon me and you will go to pray to me. I'm reading this stuff. It sounds very, very intentional. Call on me. But don't just call on me. Then go away to a place. Go away to a place. Our young people right here, you call upon God. Find a place to go away. Say, I want to go. Because it says, go and pray to me. Separate yourself from whatever's going on. And go and pray and spend time with him. And it says, when you go to this place and call upon me and pray to me, he says, I will listen to you. I'm going to hear you. When you call out, when you go away and pray to me, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear you. I'm going to listen to you. But in verse 13, he says, and you will seek me. Anyone ever seek something? Do not seek the treasure. We go seeking things, you know? And sometimes we find it, and sometimes we don't. And we seek for sometimes for meaning and purpose and hope. But he says, you will seek me and you will find me. It's not a period at the end of that, though. It's a comma. And you will find me, comma, when? When you search for me, no period there either. Okay, what else? With all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Remember a couple weeks ago I said, oh my goodness. We have qualified for the inheritance. way, we've qualified. But then we read the other scripture that says, oh my goodness, you have obtained the inheritance. I was trying to explain to Ground Zero the other day the inheritance that they talk about in Ephesians. And it says the Jews and the Gentiles before, they were separate. But now Jesus came, they're all together. We can all obtain the inheritance. How do you explain that? Hey, great news. I'm a stepdad. Spencer is my stepson. I forget that most of the time. But you say, there, he's Spencer Holt. I'm Adam Dilley. I have Austin Dilley as my son as well. I have a daughter, stepdaughter, Brittany Dunham. She's married. But the best thing I thought was, hey, Jesus came and said, you're all a part of my family. Guess what? Spencer and Brittany and Cindy now are all part of the family, or I'm part of their family, is really what I mean to say. But guess what? They have qualified for my inheritance. Because now we've made the family as one. Spencer has part of my inheritance, as does Austin, as does Brittany. None for Cindy. No, I'm just kidding. But I thought, that's what happens. We have been adopted into the family of Christ. We have brought these two groups together. And now we can all get the inheritance. And the best thing I could think of was a step family. It would come together. One of the first things I did on life insurance was have my stepchildren. Actually, before I even had Austin. You see, we're one family now. And make it part of my inheritance. No matter how small that is. Just kidding, Spencer. But I love him. It's one family now. And that's what happened when Jesus came in. He unified us. So there's no separation. There's no separation in this. He says, man, when you seek me, you're going to find me. And I'm going to gather you back in, and I'm going to pull you back into the place that I removed you from. Because a lot of times we ask God, why did you remove me from that? I had so much good going on. Yeah, but I have other plans for you. And I have other plans for other people during that time frame. Now you may ask the Catholics, and they say, yeah, I don't know what his plan was. That was miserable. But I know he promised to bring me back. Remember this, as we go through things in life, no matter how terrible we think we are in the midst of it, he says, I'm going to bring you back to me. And we're going to celebrate, and I'm going to give you some peace that I promised you. For in its peace you will have peace, he said. By the way, I have thoughts towards you, he says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I'm going to give you a future and a hope. Now we have to listen when he gives us that future and hope. Verse 10 and 11. God is revealing his plan to us. Thus says the Lord, after this time frame, I'll call you back to me. I know the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of peace, not evil. I'm going to give you a future and a hope. God is telling us right there, these are the plans I have for you. Now the next two chapters, 12 and 13, he says, now here's the people's response to him, what he tells them. Then you will call upon me. So this is now their play. You will call upon me, you will go and pray, and a byproduct of that is I'm going to listen, he says. By the way, you're going to seek me, and you're going to find me. But you're going to have to seek me with all your heart. And then he comes back and says, when you do those things in verse 14, here's what's going to happen. I will be found by you. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places that I have driven you from and scattered you to. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away in the beginning. In other words, he says, I'm going to bring you back home. I have driven you out of your home. You're going to wait 7 years. I'm going to visit you But at the end of that, I'm coming back and I'm going to bring you home. I rehired a couple people recently from my job that left for different reasons. They were good people. When they came back, it said, I feel like I came home. You see, this is where I spent my time. I feel like I was driven out. And then when that threat was gone, that issue was gone, boom, we could bring them back and bring them back home where they belong, where they were good people, where they were meant to be all along. God says, I'm going to bring you back home. I'm going to return you to me. Now let me read Matthew 6:33 real quick. See if it lines up with anything there. This happens to be my favorite verse. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Sounds like a plan. If we're out there seeking God, He says, you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. That's the Old Testament. You have sometimes people don't believe the Old Testament, some don't believe the New, and they don't believe they go together anymore. I don't know how you can stand and preach those things, but they all go together, they tie together, and they all matter. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I'm sorry, it goes on one more thing, my wife's favorite verse, the next one. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Seek God first. He's going to provide. You know, I love when Eric prays when we go out to eat. Eric often will pray, and he thanks God for our provisions. I've said this before, and I just think, oh, man, I love that. God, thank you for I'm doing these things, and everything. I thank you for your provisions. And when I think about it, I think He's provided me with everything I need. He's trying to help me understand the things I don't need and why I don't need them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Thank Him for His provisions. So we've got God revealing His plan to us and for us. Then we have God revealing what the people need to do, our response to Him. And then He reveals again His response to us. We've got the Matthew 6:33, the New Testament ties in both with seeking Him first and what we get when that happens, but also being aware of false prophets. The church has to constantly be on its toes to watch out for those trying to come and do harm and get in the midst of us and cause issues between us. Amen? We have to be diligently checking out what they say. The Bible tells us, man, we have to be good stewards of the things He's given us, so we have to know this in order to combat that. We have to be able to know how to fight these things. And we have to know that they are real and they're in our midst. Now, as we take a closer look at the being intentional, it's not just a haphazard thing. Oh, by the way, call on my name and pray to me. Okay. Lord, help me, please. You know my difficulty. Save me. That's pretty haphazard. This is more intentional. Call upon Him. Then go away. Find a quiet place. Find a secluded place. Pray to me. Not this winging it and flinging it in the sky and hope He catches our prayers and just flew up to Him. Very intelligent. Call upon me. Now go. We have an action. He's got to follow that. And pray. Very intentional. Seek me. And find me. When you search me. Okay, great. With all your heart. Very intentional. Not when you seek me haphazardly. I shut up a church and hope you would too, God. My brother just got home from a vacation out east. Beautiful And I said, here's going to be the challenge when you're out in these beautiful places of the country. As you come back into and through Oklahoma, and as you get home, look for the beauty at home as well. Look for the beauty in Oklahoma. Look for the beauty that you're coming back into. The things we take for granted every day. We had a beautiful dinner the other night over there in the kitchen, my wife and I did, out by the lake. God did an amazing job giving us a beautiful backdrop of the sunset. It looked like a painting. I mean, it truly did. The sun was just going down the horizon. And just like God took his fingers and did this with the sky, it was beautiful. And so as we go through these things, we have to be intentional about what we're doing. Don't just pray haphazardly. Look, you know the trouble with the Lord, save me out of my trouble. Be intentional when you're looking for the beauty of God's creation. Whether it's the trees or the landscape or the people that he's put all around this earth. Being intentional in those things. When we seek him, and we don't just show up and say, I hope you show up too, God, and just come and drop in my lap and do a miracle in my life. No, God, let me seek you. I mean, let me really seek you. Let me read your word and find you in the midst of that. In the midst of my problem, God, let me find you there. Telling him, showing me how to deal with that. You see, when you speak to me, God, I want to listen. I want to hear what you have to say to me. Come on. God, to deliver his promises to us often. God, your word says you promised to. Oh, yeah, I don't want to focus on those things that I'm supposed to do as well, God. I just want to focus on your promises. Forget my responsibilities as a Christ follower, as a Christian, as a new man. God, I just want you to deliver on your stuff. As we close today, I want to give you a challenge for the upcoming week. Not homework, I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a challenge to call on him. And then go somewhere and pray. I want to give you a challenge to seek him. Not quickly. God, I hope you show up in the midst of this muck I've created for myself. But seek him. And seek him with all your heart. Spend time. Very intentional. God, I want to spend time with you. And then when you find him, tell someone about it. What did he do? Remember this. You who seek God, your hearts shall live. From the psalmist David, as he was in the midst of his own battles and trials, telling God, I'm going to seek you and my heart will be filled. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for the challenge to seek you. But you didn't just leave it at that. You said, seek me with all your heart. And you said, when we seek you with all of our heart, we're going to find you. You'll restore us. You'll return us back place we were. Father, help us this week to call on you, to give you thanksgiving and praise and honor and glory for what you've done in our life. Lord, to seek you when we're going through troubles or difficult times. Lord, when we call upon you to go away quietly and privately and pray to you so that you would hear us and listen to us. Let us be intentional. Let us put some effort behind our part. Following up with our responsibilities as Christians and Christ followers. When we put on the new man and the new creation that we are. Lord, I pray that we'll see you differently this week as we seek. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your people. Bless us in Jesus' name.